Yeah, so
that's what he described it as.
He has tiger blood, and I want to have tiger blood, and he's in the flow state. And I came to the conclusion about 2 hours ago about the flow state. I think human beings rarely achieve the flow state because that's why we live so long. So I think animals that live shorter are probably constantly in the flow state. Because have you ever seen a squirrel just kind of do its thing?
I don't know what that means, man.
Like, have you ever seen a squirrel jump, leap from branch to branch?
Are you in a quote-unquote flow state right now?
No, I was just thinking about the flow state, okay?
They go one direction, and then they go the other, and they go up a tree, and then they go from one branch
isn't
to the other.
Isn't that nuts? But isn't that nuts?
They go back down, they go the other direction, back the other direction.
Isn't that fucking nuts? Do you know how in the flow state a housefly probably is? They have so many eyes.
Is that the key to reaching a flow state? Just having a whole bunch of eyes?
No, I'll tell you what it is, Dino. It's the weirder your eyes are.
Okay.
The more likely you're in a flow state. Because have you ever seen like a lemur's eyes? And those motherfuckers are flowing constantly.
I don't know where we're going. And are we recording?
No, I'm just talking about the flow state here. Fuck the podcast. This is for humanity.
This is just a meeting. This is just a good scheduled standing conference call.
No. All I'm. Do you understand the thesis?
I do. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because we're slow, right? We're human beings. We're slow. You know what else is slow? A tortoise. Have you ever seen a tortoise flow? Absolutely not.
And I've never seen a tortoise's eyes.
Yeah, they're wait. They might have weird eyes. We should probably.
Nah, they're boring. They got boring eyes. They're just like black.
Oh yeah, those are boring. So yeah, I think it's got something to do with the eyes, and definitely the shorter your lifespan, the more flow you have. I think.
Well, yeah, okay. Probably. You got to make the most of that little bit of time.
Don't they say you only have a certain number of heartbeats? Which obviously isn't true, but. You know, like they have only a certain number of
heartbeats. Well, I mean, technically it's true. It just might not be the same number for everybody.
But they just make it seem like it's the same for everyone so that people with more exercise just die quicker. The fucking, a housefly's heart has got to be going buck wild. 24/7.
Oh, man, I don't even know. Do houseflies have hearts?
Hashtag. That's worth building some fucking clout on the internet. Hashtag.
I actually don't know.
I'm 100% sure that houseflies have hearts. Houseflies, hearts. Yeah, I'm doing it too. Yeah.
What are we recording about today?
I don't know. I was figuring we could just bounce it back and forth. There's probably things, in the news that Dino knows. Because I don't...
There's a little bit of that. I've also been watching season 3 of Scientology in the Aftermath. So I've been in the cult rabbit hole for the last few days.
Wow, you've been in the cult rabbit hole since you came on last time. You've really been in the cult rabbit hole. Oh, really?
Yeah.
So they got big hearts.
Yeah, I mean, relative to their size. They also don't have proper blood. They have, like their life juice is just, like, free-flowing throughout their body. What? They don't have, like, blood in blood vessels.
They have, like, decentralized blood vessels?
They've got crypto blood.
You always try and find out which animals are the most agorist.
Fucking housefly. Who would have guessed?
Yeah, who would have guessed?
All right, you guys want to kick this thing off? All right. Well, I guess I'll intro it.
All right.
Is this episode 50?
Yeah.
Holy shit. Dino, here for 50.
Oh, hey!
Hey, it's episode 50.
Hey, what That's do you wonderful. Know? It's episode 50.
Friends!
Welcome, everyone. Goddamn Christ. Welcome, everyone, to the Friends Against Government podcast. This is episode 50 of the Fagcast. Really impressive that we hit that mark. Everybody feel free to give us a pat on the back when you
see
us.
That's no small number.
I'm Car Campit. With me, as always, is Bird. And today we've got a special guest, Dino. Dino, what's going on, man?
Hey, nothing much, man. I'm really looking forward to giving both of you 50 spankings.
Oh, ooh, that sounds good. And me, hey, Carr, does this mean we're legit? I mean, we have a beef with Robbie Bernstein. We've had Pete Raymond on the podcast. We have 50 Horton. Episodes. Are we legit yet? Do we?
Yeah, I think this is our
most podcasts that get abandoned at or before episode 20. So,
oh yeah,
hitting 50 is actually no small thing.
Yeah, I remember hearing once Tom Woods said the average was 7, and I was like, that seems a little low. And because of that, I was always beating myself up because I figured, man, everyone has to get to at least 50, but. I don't know. I see a lot of podcasts that like, you know, when I'm scrolling through, everyone's got a podcast, right? It seems like either everyone just started or everyone has stopped after like 25. I think probably a lot of new podcasts have started, though.
Yeah, it's typically your upper limit on a podcast that you're not really into doing is 20 episodes.
Yeah, like
that tends to be when they drop.
Well, that's good. So we're legit.
A show that was abandoned at I think exactly 20. Actually,
how many podcasts do you actually have? 3.
I'm on. Well, technically, Dino Files is the one that's mine. Then
we have Annie Files. Ryan,
yeah, my buddy Ryan. That's his show. I'm technically just a panelist or a co-host on that show.
I got
it's not really mine. But. I used to do 2. I used to do Drinky Files, which was fun and also a mistake, but also a very fun mistake. Mm. And then Dino Files has been off and on for like years.
And then I'm
finally doing it weekly.
Car, you did one for about 50 episodes. Is that right?
Yeah. It wasn't. I don't think it was 50, but
did we pass?
It was probably somewhere.
Did we pass last one?
Oh yeah. We're well past it.
Oh shit!
Numbers.
Okay,
yeah.
Look at this. Yeah. We're moving up.
Yeah.
We're moving on up. Yeah. Good. Well, thank you for being here for 50 episodes. Some listeners, some of you. Thank you for hopping on board. If you hopped on board at any point from now until then, Carr, do you want to? Should we discuss the Bernstein beef for a second?
I'm curious
about this. I have no fucking clue what's going on. So put me in the loop, so we guys. Have the,
all right, so let's, because we saw a lot of people who are confused about the Bernstein beef. We just want to let everyone know, we hate Robbie Bernstein. We think he's evil. I think he's evil. Do you think he's evil? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Borderline. He's certainly aggravating.
He's evil. He's,
back up a second. He's, who the fuck is Robbie Bernstein?
He's a malevolent character, is what he is. Yeah. No.
He's the villain of the story.
In all seriousness, and we're going to keep kayfabe for the rest of the fight, I like Robbie Bernstein a lot. He's the producer for Dave Smith's show. And we've just decided, after we had Chris Bangle from We Are Libertarians podcast on, he told us start punching down or punching up. Just start punching in various directions until people respond. And so we
kind of decided that we were going to be that like drunk, irritated guy at the bar.
Yeah.
He's just sitting down at the end and just... People are, you know, the bartender's sliding him shots, and he's like slowly just developing this drunk rage.
Uh-huh.
And at some point, he's going to lash out somewhere, and it just happened to
this
be.
This is our Robbie. Drunk rage. This is our drunk rage moment. So,
going forward.
Well, that's, I mean, a fag cast drunk rage is a gift to humanity. That's got to be.
We feel that way.
We figured, you know what? Let's punch up a little bit. Let's try and go after Dave Smith's co-host, because we figured, can we go after Dave Smith? Probably not. Dave Smith would probably crush us right now. One day, we'll go after Dave, but now we got to go after Robbie. And Robbie, though he's a good guy, I'm sorry, Robbie, everyone getting punched. Everyone is getting punched left and right, and now we are punching Robbie Bernstein, metaphorically, of course. We're lashing out. Because we're drunk.
2019, the year of the outward lash for the fact.
Yes, that's going to be it. So is there real animosity here? No. Would we shake Robbie's hand after the beef is over?
Also, yes. No.
but right now, oh, we're, oh, okay, fine. Also, no. So, all right, so Robbie, no handshakes, no hugs, no new friends.
We kind of, we'll just kind of like iron it out, but not really iron it out, you know, where you right. just like, kind of like butter, like, yeah, it's cool.
It'll
cool.
be, yeah, like, it'll be one of those things we just kind of forget. Anytime you see him forget. At
the bar later, it's awkward.
Yeah, right. Yeah. So just so everyone knows, do we actually hate Robbie? No, but right now we hate Robbie, so yeah. It's just how it works. All right.
Well, that makes sense. That's,
yeah.
That to me is probably the best. That's got to be the best basis for a beef, right?
Dino, you got to build clout, you know?
Yeah. You got to build. There's one thing that we're about here.
Uh-huh. We've been about that since maybe episode 10. We've been about building our clout. And I can't think of anything better than clotheslining a bigger podcast than ours and taking their clout.
Oh, yeah, no. That's just definitely the way. If I've learned anything, I've learned that going after people. I mean, hell, Talib Kweli,
boy,
like the
favorite
follow bump after Talib Kweli just wore off on me.
Are we still talking about that guy? Are we?
There's
still
a couple
talking
of people
him?
Who are still talking about him. Yes, because his followers got somebody banned.
Oh, really?
And it pissed a couple of people off.
There's
still a couple of people who are still talking about him.
I always watched that guy on Twitter before I got on Twitter because I knew he was a nut. And I can't believe that the niche community of friends I've chosen to hang out with are the ones that maniac is now targeting. I feel a little blessed.
Well, you were talking about punching up and punching down. All he's doing is going after people he doesn't understand on the internet and calling them Nazis.
Yeah, and he doesn't.
Which I'm fully capable of doing that too. Uh-huh. I mean, so if that's the way,
Cor, is that what we do next? Do we call Robbie a Nazi? It seems like that doesn't work.
Well, yeah. If we're gonna people would just not have to look into his ancestry.
Yeah, dude.
I'd have to get out in front of it. Have to get out in front of it, like he's.
Oh yeah, his name is exactly Bernstein.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. It is exactly Bernstein. Yeah.
We would have to call him like we would have to get out in front of it and just label him like some sort of inside job to the Jews,
like what they did to Ben Shapiro.
Yes, look into his. Right. Look into his birth name. Make him show. Like, we could turn in like an Obama birther. Deal. Like,
well, that's what they do with Ben Shapiro.
What? You go the Farrakhan route, and you talk about how everybody needs to understand that there's good Jews and there's bad Jews.
No. Did he say that? Is that a thing he said?
That's absolutely a thing he said.
That's tremendous.
He's the most anti-Semitic motherfucker
that
on the planet.
That is tremendous. Oh, crap.
With a blindingly German last name, I'm gonna pretty much stay away from any Jew talk. That's been rule numero uno for quite some time.
Why are we talking about Nazis? Oh yeah, because Talib Kweli is calling people Nazis. Didn't he call Eric July a Nazi? Did that man?
Yes, he called
Eric July a Nazi.
And
that would be one. That'd be one of the shittiest Nazis I've ever seen in my life.
I'm sorry.
He called him a Nazi. He also he's called him every racial slur that a black guy can call another black guy and try to be hurtful.
That's crazy. I don't understand that at all. I used to like his music and I can't even listen to it now. It just makes me think of how he's beefing with people I know.
I know. This dude, I actually did. You might have seen the Google Trends thing.
Uh-huh.
Talib Kweli is less popular than the search term "how to install Linux."
Oh my god,
that's funny.
Talib, I put in the term gray parentheses color.
Yeah,
and he is less popular than the color gray.
Oh, that is. I don't get that.
He's holding on to what he used to be. And there was somebody who was ostensibly a fan of his who was talking to him who was like, you're in the twilight of your career, dude. Just accept it and move with that.
Yeah.
And he's like, fuck you. And all his fans were like, fuck you. And he's like, I like your stuff, but it's over.
It's over.
Yeah.
And it most certainly is over. And I think with that, we should probably be over with the talking about it.
Yeah.
Can we just forget
Yeah, we're
about
losing clout.
Guy.
We're hemorrhaging clout right now.
Oh God. Well, all right, Dino. You're a newsly guy. You keep up, don't you?
I try to keep up on some things. Yeah, sure.
What do you have for us today?
Well, I can bring up something that I discovered very recently that it's not technically a news story, but it is something that's new to me.
Uh-huh.
That I thought was incredible. And this kind of ties into the cult stuff. Do you guys know the way that the People's Temple, the Jim Jones cult, Jonestown, mm-hmm. you know, poison flavor aid, all that. Do you guys know how he built his core congregation?
No, actually, I don't think I do.
Yeah, no idea.
Well, one of the things that he did, he was...
Tell me he didn't start like a liberty-themed podcast. Please just tell me.
No. What we're doing is new.
Thank God. Nobody's going to steal our tricks.
Next time I show up at Austin 2020 for the LNC, like with like aviators and like a whole like yeah. backpack full of Kool-Aid mix.
what he did, he was a guy. This is actually really fascinating. He took over black churches.
Jim Jones. Really?
Jim Jones. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he would make his way. Like he would load up people on
Jim
bus.
Jones is white, right?
Yes. White, yeah.
Okay, I'm only saying that because I always get him confused with the rapper Jim Jones.
No.
Okay, so Jim Jones is the white guy with the funny haircut, I think.
Funny haircut, yeah. Aviator sunglasses,
yes, the
because
sunglasses.
His eyes were always bloodshot because he was always pumping his body full of lewds and amphetamines.
Oh, perfect.
And that's the way that he lived.
I did not know
that.
But
this dude, he took over these black churches and he would go in and start talking about, it was all about like racial equality. He had this like interesting message, this social sort of message to get people hooked in. And then he would be like, so let's go do it. And everybody would go and get on a bus. And now they're in the People's Temple and he just drives away.
Oh my God. Right. Like, but here, in his defense, like if you're pumping your body full of...
In Jim Jones's defense, man. In Jim Jones's defense.
If you're living your life amphetamine high to amphetamine high, you are going to take over something. And it just happened to be a black church in this case.
Yeah, right.
That is true.
A few different black churches.
Oh man.
He built up his congregation by taking over black churches, and then
now what do you mean by taking over? Maybe I missed that. What do you mean by taking over?
He would go in and he would upstage the people who actually ran that church.
Did he have a largely black congregation?
Yes, almost entirely.
I didn't know that. I didn't know that.
While tipping and towing through the eggshells of racial commentary, it's got to be really fucking hard for a white guy to just come into a black church and upstage the preacher.
Oh, like, it is.
I know.
It is.
No, I know.
It is. As someone who's you know, when I was in high school, I went to a Catholic school, but one of the kids who was there was a Southern Baptist. He was a friend of mine. His name was Dante. He was a reverend, or not a reverend, but he was a basically trusted to be a pastor when he was like 13. And I was like, all right, I'll go. I'll check it out. Man, I felt unwelcomed there.
Yeah.
and you know, when the service gets going, everybody gets into it. But man, when you walk in, it's like, what are you doing here?
Yeah.
Every black preacher to me comes off like they were forced to do a charisma check at birth and rolled a natural 20. Like
they
are. No,
yes, there is a thing about what's required of you to be a Southern Baptist preacher. It requires a very high level of charisma. Definitely.
It's and just being energetic and engaging, which speaks to Jim Jones and why he was able to build a cult.
Right.
Because he was actually able to be more charismatic than black preachers.
Right.
Yeah, which is I mean, they occupy the highest echelon, in my opinion, of just engaging people.
Public
and
speakers,
come in there, not only to come in there and do it, but almost even more so to have the balls to think you could. So crazy.
So Jim Jones, Jim Jones on amphetamines managed to upstage a couple of Baptist preachers, and then so what does he do? He's now taking over churches. He builds up his congregation.
Right.
Yeah.
Builds up his congregation, and then Jonestown happens. Right.
Right.
We know the kind of Jonestown.
Hey, maybe before we do that, because I'm not actually so familiar, and maybe there are just a few people who don't really know the Jim Jones thing either. Why did they go to Guyana?
They building a commune.
Yes, they were going
to
build this socialist commune. Okay. Yes,
and the idea the whole time was that Stalin was going to come save them?
Yeah. Soviet Russia.
Yeah.
Why was this? Because they were genuine communists and he thought...
Because they were communist allies. They actually sent people to communist Russia to try and get audiences with state leaders from the Soviet Union. And one of the things that they would like dispatch letters and things like that to the Soviet Union to try and get help. And that's actually one of the reasons they had to flee the country was because they were communists. This is the exact same time period as the Red Scare.
And now...
And as McCarthyism. Hmm.
And now, so with that... Was the effort to move to Guyana, was it religiously motivated, or were most of the people there just communists, and he was like the
There was
communist?
Nothing special about Guyana. It was just easy to go to Guyana and set up a commune because the government there is weak as shit. So, like, they're not going to make you leave. They can't.
Right. Okay. I gotcha.
It just happens to be a place that was easy to go to.
So and wait, so was he a legit commie, or was he just a cult leader?
No, he was a legit communist, and that was actually one of the reasons that he was able to take over these churches is because he tied this racial equality message with socialism. And that's one of the ways that he was able to take over these churches and have this charismatic message is because he was a very political guy. And it attracted people to him.
Right. Okay. I don't want to distract you from the you continuing your story anymore. I just wanted to fill people in on the Jim Jones thing.
That's absolutely fine, because the context is kind of important. So we know that we all pretty much know kind of the Jonestown story. We know that a lot of people know that a lot of people drank poison Flavor Aid. The reason that they did that was because there was a bunch of people who had been asked. There were people, government officials had been asked to check this thing out because people's family members had disappeared to Guyana. They had disappeared to Jonestown.
Right.
And so there was a congressman who was like, I'm checking this thing out. So he goes down there. Somebody gives him a message, you know, like a secret message. They get caught doing that. One of the people one of the cult members is tasked with getting on the plane to go back with this person and take the plane down on the way.
Yeah.
And that... you know, kind of occurs. And so Jones knows that they're going to be raided and everything's going to go away. So he has everybody kill themselves.
And they were raided. Why?
Well, they were going to be raided because there was an attempt on a government official's life.
Oh, so
the shootout. There was a shootout at the airport.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. So technically, did they start it?
They tried to kill a congressman.
Okay. All right. I was just curious.
I don't know exactly how that ties in. If that was, I just remember there was a shootout at the airport in Guyana and I don't remember why.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure it was because they had tried, they were trying to kill the congressman like on the way there and shit. And he ended up, I'm 90% sure he got away. I actually can't remember how that thread goes.
No, he did.
But
he got away. Yeah. He was in Congress until he might still be in Congress.
Yeah. Okay, so he gets away and there was an attempt on his life. The cult had tried to kill him, and so he of course everybody at the cult, Jim Jones especially, knew we're not long for this. We're going to be raided. We're going to be taken down. Because we just tried to assassinate a fucking political leader.
Right.
Yeah.
And got caught. And so he had been building up the apocalyptic nature of this church for a while. And he, you know, just kind of pulled the trigger on it.
And no, yeah, dude, well, he was assassinated. The congressman was assassinated.
Oh, was he?
The assassination worked? Okay, so that's
were there two congressmen there then? Because I think that there was at least a congressman present at that who's still serving.
Maybe. All I know is
could have been an aide though too.
All it I know been is like Leo Ryan didn't make it. He was the congressman who was assassinated. And so
he's from Kentucky, right?
Yes. No, but so, representing California's district though.
Okay.
Yeah,
all
representing
right.
California's district.
So they ended up all killing themselves. This isn't actually pertinent though to the news.
Oh, okay.
The news is more interesting.
Okay. Ooh.
We know how Jim Jones built his cult.
Mm-hmm.
We know how Jim Jones built his congregation.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Would you like to know what church, the Church of Scientology, is currently making inroads into and not taking really. Over.
Yeah, not really. Now,
what's the next topic? We got anything else?
I'm just going to go because of context clues. Is it Southern Baptist churches?
No.
Okay, is it the Catholic Church?
Of Islam.
Oh! Whoa, that's weird.
Scientology. Wait. Scientology has looped in Nation of Islam leaders with the inclusion of Farrakhan.
Oh, that doesn't
who has been talking
me.
About how yeah. wonderful Dianetics is for a few years
oh,
now.
Oh, God.
Jesus Christ.
And Scientology is pulling a Jim Jones with the Nation of Islam.
I'm cool with it.
Yeah, me too. Me too. I'm cool with that.
Green light.
Yeah.
Green light for me.
Green light. Because I was always pretty sure that Farrakhan was a Scientologist anyway. I actually always thought that.
Well, it's because Nation of Islam and Scientology are like equally kind of mysterious as far as like churches are concerned. And Farrakhan's also a
mysterious is
massive
a very
dick.
Generous term.
That is, it is.
It's it is. Very, very generous of you. Yeah, okay. So what does this mean
yeah, so,
for the grander? What does this mean? What does that mean?
Well, this is what it means to me. The roles for Scientology.
Uh-huh.
I read a news story recently. It was about this big Scientology event that was supposed to take place in Ireland, where they have, like, Scientology's always had a major foothold in Ireland, and there's 87 Scientologists in Ireland.
Uh-huh.
So we know that Scientology's dying. What this is Scientology's attempt to branch out in order to ensure their own survival.
It's a brand pivot.
Exactly.
That's awesome.
That's what they're doing. And the Nation of Islam is doing the exact same thing in turning towards Scientology. Because
are they going to change their names?
Oh, man. I was thinking about ways to put that together.
Scientific Nation of Islam or something?
Exactly.
the Scientocracy of Islam.
I don't know, guys. I'm coming out all in favor. I'm in. This sounds great.
What are you in for? I'm confused.
I don't know. Just
don't
sounds
know
like a fun
in.
Little thing.
I don't
sounds
know
like
what
a fun
you're
thing
in
to
about.
Watch and track.
But I don't. What are you in about? Do you even know what you're in about?
I don't know. I'm just in to watch. It seems cool. Seems
you're
fun.
In to watch.
Yeah. Okay. This is going to be the most incredible cult of the 21st century.
I think this
it
is
should
gonna,
be. A
you guys
cult.
Are crazy. This is going to be boring as shit. What are you talking about? The Scientology is so boring. It's so
is
boring.
It?
Yeah, and what the hell has the Nation of Islam done since assassinating Malcolm X? What have they done since then? They're boring.
Yeah, maybe it is.
Scientology, there are...
You guys, you can have your optimism. I'm going with boring. that's
Scientology,
funny.
They have done... They're... Scientology can be boring depending upon what you're looking at.
Okay.
But it
one
can be fun.
That, oh, it can be very fun, especially if you look at their financials. If you look at the way that Scientology handles their financial transactions, every transaction that takes place in the Church of Scientology, there's like 10 to 15% taken off the top that goes to L. Ron Hubbard's estate.
Oh. So it's like a monarchy.
Yeah, no, the whole thing. That's why they had trouble getting tax exempt status, is because the whole thing is designed to enrich L. Ron Hubbard and the IRS.
Who's L. Ron Hubbard's? Who's L. Ron Hubbard's like issue? Who's still alive? Does he have a son?
It's probably Lil Ron Hubbard.
Ronnie Hubby,
or is that not it?
Lil Ron Hubbard is I want that sketch show to happen now.
What is, but really, like, what is this going to fund? I don't understand his estate. But who is
Scientologists? Scientologists believe he's coming back.
Oh, really?
What the fuck?
They that's believe he's going to be reincarnated. That's
how,
part of the
I don't
reason
understand
that they have
how
two
much of that
mansions.
Is bullshit. How much of that is real and how much of that is bullshit?
All of it. No, I mean.
Like, does
almost
Tom
all
Cruise
the stories,
really believe that? Does Tom Cruise believe that?
Tom Cruise has to believe it. And there's a reason that Tom Cruise has to believe it. And that's because the way that celebrities are treated in Scientology is that celebrities in Scientology are gods.
Okay.
They are. It's. Leah Remini actually described it like George Clooney goes out into the world and he's treated nice.
Uh huh.
Tom Cruise goes into a Scientology building and he is God.
And why did he like free the slaves? Like, what did he do?
Because he's the face, man. He's the face.
Oh, is he the money guy? He's the big money maker for the organization.
Not even just that. He is the public face of Scientology. Everybody fucking loves Tom Cruise. It's the same thing with every celebrity that's in Scientology is treated this way.
I can't help but notice that Tom Cruise also wears aviator sunglasses from time to time.
Holy
he does.
Yep.
I'm wondering if there's a connection between Tom Cruise and lewds now.
I thought that Tom Cruise did the Jim Jones movie. Wait a minute. Wasn't there a Jim Jones? Wasn't there a Jim Jones movie that just came out? I don't know.
But that's one of the things. Like, so these guys, I mean, there's no reason for them not to believe it. But they I mean, it's part of Scientology doctrine that L. Ron Hubbard's coming back. And they've got two mansions that are built. One of them's on Gold Base in outside Hemet, California. And there's another one that's somewhere else I can't remember. But they've got these big fucking mansions that are built. They turn down the covers every day. They have a place setting for one that they change every day.
Mm-hmm.
Waiting for L. Ron Hubbard to come back and live in it.
Is that the first thing he's going to do is go and take a nap when he comes back?
Thank God. Thank God you guys have been doing this for so long. I've been waiting for a nap.
The first thing he needs to do when he gets back is brush his fucking teeth, but nobody's going to tell him that because he's God.
Yeah, I don't understand. So then what is he going to do when he comes back, exactly?
He's going to tell everybody about OT 9 and 10.
Oh, do we not know what OT 9 and 10 are?
No. But it maxes out right now at OT 8. That's as far as he was able to con people before he died. So when people get to OT 8, basically, people get to OTA and leave Scientology because they realize it's all bullshit.
What does OTA say? What does OTA say? OTA,
okay. You start to go up through the OT levels. Uh-huh. First, you go up through some other levels, then you hit clear, and then you start going up the OT levels.
Hold on. I gotta stop you. How many of these do you know? Do you know these? Do you know any of these levels? Yeah.
I know what you learn at 3 and 8.
Oh, okay. Are we allowed to divulge these without the entire wrath of the Scientology community coming
down
on us?
Well, Scientology, everybody already knows it, but okay. Scientology believes that people who learn of the secret knowledge of OT3 will, before they're ready for OT3, will get sick and die.
Oh, are you sick? How are you? Because I'm about to look this up, and I don't want, if you're sick, I don't want to... How you doing?
The secret knowledge.
How do you feel,
OT3?
Dino?
Everybody,
you have a sniffle in your.
I feel great.
Okay,
I feel great.
Or are you? Wonderful. Are you okay? Do you have a sniffle or anything? You all right?
I think I'm all right.
All right. So I don't want to catch anything here.
What if we did though? That'd be good for the podcast.
Some kind of like mimetic death phrase. Like, is that what you're gonna do, Dino? You're just gonna say like the plant in the attic, and then we just die?
No, the secret knowledge of OT3 is the story of Xenu.
Oh, that's early.
Yeah, I know. It feels like it, right? And it's because when L. Ron Hubbard was building this con, he hit OT3 and he's like, I need something cool here because people are getting bored. And so he gets to OT3 and he tells the Xenu story, and that becomes the secret knowledge of OT3. Well, what that doesn't do, though, is it doesn't give you anything to keep going down the road with. So another 2 years later, when people are getting bored and L. Ron Hubbard needs an OT4, what does he do? He just makes up an OT4.
Uh-huh.
And there's nothing interesting at OT4.
What's OT4?
There's nothing interesting.
I don't understand.
OT4 is basically, honestly, moving up the bridge. They call it the bridge. Moving up the bridge is accomplished by giving people money and wasting your time.
Right, yeah.
It's you give people money and you do a bunch of auditing.
Now,
and
hey,
that's basically
the OT. Is Scientology like, and this is going to sound funny to all the Christians, but is Scientology like, does it suppose itself to be like the continuation of Christianity? Or like what is, or is it its own religion entirely?
No, it's its own religion entirely.
There's no Jesus references.
It rejects all other religions.
Okay, all right. Because that would have been great if it was like, oh, and here's Jesus, he comes back.
Like, I know, right? Yeah. They started incorporating that shit?
It would have been better. I mean, it would have probably been a better marketing scheme.
I think so. It would have been more interesting.
Hit me with OT8. If you're going to do this, I'm ready. I got, you know, I'm ready to go. I just took a vitamin C.
Are you ready for what you learn at OT8?
Yeah, are you ready? Are we ready?
I'm ready. I just took a vitamin C pack. Hopefully, I won't get sick. I'll be all right.
Oh, you'll be fine then. You'll be fine. Okay. Absolutely.
All right.
This is the secret knowledge that you learned. What part of going with the bridge is attempting to master yourself?
Operating thetan level 8. Hit me with it. I'm a level 8 thetan.
Exactly. You're at level 8 operating thetan. This is what you learn at OT8.
Uh-huh.
You are you.
Hmm.
What is that?
What?
What do you mean?
That's what you... That's OT8.
You are you?
Yeah.
Is the second you spelled E-W-E or something?
No. Just you are who you are.
You. You are you.
You OT8. Are who you are. That's basically OT8.
I am who I am is OT8?
Yep. Yep. You are what you is.
I don't...
Charlie Kelly could have told us that in, like, season 3 of Philly. Yeah. I am who I am.
I don't understand. What does that actually...
Well, okay, it's good that you ask that. Because a lot of people get to OT8 and they learn the secret knowledge and they go, what does that mean? And then the answer to that question, what does that mean, is you'll learn at OT9.
Wow.
But OT9 doesn't fucking exist.
It sounds so profound. It
sounds... Yeah, I'm in, frankly. Special. It sounds great.
I feel a little something. I feel a little something right now. Like, I did actually just learn something very important. I just don't know what it is.
The facts are science. Yeah.
Is that Scientology?
That's part of what... Yes, that's part of what keeps people in.
I'm getting swept up.
Is the whole thing...
I'm feeling...
Yeah, I'm...
I'm in.
It mixes, like, this obvious self-help bullshit, which is all the stuff that you learn at the beginning. This is classic cult stuff.
Yeah.
This is the same way Nexium worked.
We'll get to that.
It mixes your it mixes, like, it takes basic self-help shit that everybody knows, and it gives it to you from somebody who is somehow authoritative or somehow charismatic, and so you think you're learning things, and that's how they hook you in, and then you just keep giving them money and keep going to meetings, you get more and more isolated, and before you know it, you're fucking brainwashed.
Yeah. Carr, you're you.
Yeah.
You feeling it?
Yeah, feel good.
Do you feel it? Like, there's something happening right now.
Yeah.
And I don't think it's just the flow state.
Hold on. Don't get too into it, because there's not supposed to be too much happening, because you still have to go to OT9 to uncover the mystery of what OT8 means.
But I feel I got
a window of opportunity here. We create OT9. We branch it off.
Holy,
we hard fork Scientology,
shit.
And it just comes to us.
No.
So we're getting the cream of the crop.
Dude.
We're getting the cream of the crop being shot out of the OT8 cannon. We just gobble them up. OT9, baby. Fagcast OT9.
No, dude. I got one better for you. I got one even better for you. Here it is. We create OF. Operating fag.
Yes!
That's what we need to do.
Yeah.
Operating fag. This and yep. we can have our own we can have our own, like, thing where we can start our own cult. Dude, this is what we've been waiting for. All right. Good. Good.
If you're gonna try and swallow up the current Scientologist, somebody's gonna have to claim to be the reincarnated LRH.
I got it. I got this.
Yeah, that's Bird.
Yeah. I got this.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, I could do
but
that.
But you realize you have to let your dental care just absolutely go by the wayside.
Yeah, I have to get that done. Man, I haven't been to the dentist.
Yeah.
What?
Well, don't go. If you wanna be LRH, you can't go to the dentist, man.
Oh, okay. All right.
You have got to have the most disgusting teeth on planet Earth.
Why? Is that part of the game?
No, because LRH had the most disgusting teeth on planet Earth.
Can we retcon that? Can we start over? Can we try? Can we do that again?
I
just had a coffee.
Yeah, we can just build it in. We can build it into the, you know, at least once per year, like, annual dental checkups is just part of OT9.
Okay, so I'll be...
Right, like LRH learned in his travels, this is how they announced his death, by the way, that he had cast aside his body as it was no longer useful and moved on to do research in other places. So,
I wish I could do
that.
Oh,
yeah. So we can make it that in his research, LRH discovered that dental care is important, and then there you go. You got your.
Yeah, but then they'll start calling us like a shill for big teeth. Like, you know, I don't want to be a part of that group either.
Are we talking about like Sarah Jessica Parker or the dental industry?
The dental military industry.
The big teeth?
Yeah, big teeth, bro. Big teeth.
The dental industrial complex.
Big paste. Big Colgate.
Yeah.
That's all right. Good. So I'll be Lil Ron Hubbard and
yes!
And we'll come up with a plan. Car, what do we wait, we need some OF. So what's like OF one? What's a classic cult? What do we do?
Now, see, I've got a very specific idea for this cult, and that is that we're going to impart the ways that we already live and say that those are godlike. That way we don't have to change anything. Like I don't
have to work at anything.
I don't like to change like my style. Like I'm a jeans and flannel guy.
Yeah,
and
I know. Maybe you're a unique guy. Hands. Yeah.
What?
You're a unique guy. You got your own style. Character.
Yeah, and I don't want to change it ever. I never have. No. And so that's going to be part of my OF9 is it's jeans, flannels, and hiking boots. And that's just what you wear.
I wear that.
And dental care.
I wear that stuff. So we're good.
Good.
Yeah, we're
perfect.
Yeah, I think that's totally doable. Can you guys make OF10 though? When you guys go on to make OF10?
OF10 is if you huff enough glue, you find out which gods are real.
Oh, cool. Because so, I still want to be able to do drugs and play video games.
You could do that, but then when you get to OF10,
it's all glue.
Yeah, it's all about the inhalers.
I have to switch over to rubber.
You got to drop the amphetamines and switch over to glue. Right. We'll have like a
you huff enough glue, you meet Jesus. That's the catchphrase of the.
We'll have like a tip box, like an anonymous tip box too, that you can just like submit ideas for OT9.
Yeah, everyone knows that OT9 was crowdsourced.
Yeah, yeah, it's the ultimate decentralized OT.
Yeah,
that's what.
Yeah. That's how we incorporate. That's just like this fucking podcast. That's how we incorporate the libertarianism into it. One time out of like an hour and a half of conversation. Yeah. That's how we.
It's just a touch and go. It's like a little touch and go.
Crypto Scientology has a wonderful, wonderful ring to it.
Crypto Scientology.
Do I get special like abilities and powers if I'm L. Ron Hubbard? Do I get that?
Supposedly L. Ron Hubbard had special abilities and powers,
like
but
what?
Really all you need to do is learn a couple of card tricks.
Oh, okay. Did he,
Yeah.
What kind of things would, when you become an OT8, do you, like, gain abilities? Like, what happens?
You're supposed to have complete mastery of your body and much of the physical world. Yeah, there are people who claim that they can move cars with their mind.
Like Tom Cruise?
The story that's told
is that this dude was the passenger in a car, and the car was about to get in an accident, and he saw that he needed, between the car going up to the, there was a stopped car in front of it, and he saw that he needed just a few inches from the stopped car in front, and so by his will alone, the car in front moved forward 3 inches.
Seems reasonable.
Oh, that's... Yeah, I don't know. I don't think I believe this. I gotta be honest.
The testimonials to the powers that are promised in Scientology, when people come out and say, these are absolutely true, this is the power that I gained, it's just a bunch of people who are trying really hard to be the shittiest X-Man.
Okay.
It's like there's
I can
no
move a car 3 inches
at
a time.
Exactly.
Dude, has James Randi ever gone? You know James Randi? Has James Randi ever gone around and debunked all this shit?
I don't think James Randi feels the need to.
All right, well, that's
it's
probably
all
true.
It's all pretty insane on its own. Like,
well, it ties back to the thing that you were talking about with Leah Remini, where like it might be insane, but these motherfuckers are harmful. Like they can really do a lot of damage to people.
Exactly.
So
that's a lot of different religions, though. That's part of the things. That's one of the things, actually, that strengthens Scientology's claim to the word religion, is that they're very strict. So they're a very conservative religion. They have, not only are they homophobic and, like, conservative in that way.
Oh, why? Was Elrond homophobic?
Yes, Elrond was very homophobic. In fact, he slotted homophobes. There's a thing in Scientology called the tone scale.
Uh-huh.
And basically, this is a scale of how trustworthy and good you are as a human being.
Uh-huh.
And it goes from, like, one up to, you know, whatever number, some arbitrary bullshit. And he slotted homosexuals in at 1.1 on the tone scale, which is among thieves, murderers, and people who will stab you in the back while smiling.
He doesn't seem like a good guy.
Oh, L. Ron Hubbard?
No, he doesn't seem like a good guy.
Oh, yeah, no, he was absolutely the worst piece of shit to ever walk the planet.
Yeah, he seems like a real piece of shit. Does,
did he have any kids?
Oh, God.
Yes.
Oh, boy.
Did he? Are they, like, around?
Yeah. Some, I believe, have stayed in the organization. When David Miscavige, when David Miscavige took control of Scientology, he actually had a lot of people who were connected to LRH excommunicated because they had stronger claims to the seat of chairman of the board.
Oh my God, he did like his own Stalinist purge
on David Miscavige taking over. Yeah, David Miscavige taking over the Church of Scientology was a coup.
Holy shit, that is a lizard person if I've ever seen one. Wow.
Right?
Look at that guy.
Right?
The eyes, car. Have you ever seen David Miscavige? Because you need to do some Googling. No. Holy Christ. That guy looks like he thinks I'm delicious.
David, how do you spell his last name?
Miscavige. It's a name straight from the aliens.
Oh, yeah.
Isn't he crazy looking?
Yep.
That guy could... Oh, God. You could see this guy. You could see this guy, like, you're put the key in the door, it's dark in your room, you just hear a clicking noise in the corner, him in full reptilian mode.
Self-helping his way right into my butt.
Good Lord almighty. That is something else. What did you learn from that show? What else do you know from Leah Remini's
so
show?
Much,
did you watch
dude.
It yet?
That... Yeah, I've watched season one a couple of times. I've watched season two a couple of times, and I'm watching season three right now. It's in progress. They actually did an episode on the Jehovah's Witnesses, which was fascinating because the Jehovah's Witnesses are people don't see them as threatening because they're technically Christian, but the Jehovah's Witnesses have the same policy as Scientology as far as disconnection is concerned, and they have the same policies as Scientology as far as dealing with other people in the world. They have, you're not allowed to socialize, talk to, get close to apostates. Or
you know what, though? That is a lot of religions, as you said. That's barely any different from the way most religions treat apostates.
Right, right, exactly. Except for, to me, To me personally, and this is a personal definition that I have of it, the difference between a church and a cult, or a religion and a cult, is what happens when you make friends and what happens when you leave.
Okay.
So the people in the Jehovah's Witnesses, if you leave the Jehovah's Witnesses, you get disconnected from your family. It's basically Scientology, but with Jesus.
Yeah, I never really thought about it like that, but I've worked with I worked with an active Jehovah's Witness one time. That was crazy. And then I worked with an ex-JW one time and an ex-Mormon at the same time. And they would talk together. And yeah, it's crazy. And I growing up out east, there didn't seem to be as many Mormons and Jehovah's Witnesses.
Yeah.
And then I moved out west, and they're kind of a lot more common. And I couldn't, and I just didn't really, people would like say, like religious people in the South would be like, oh, Mormonism is a cult. And I'm like, yeah, but like, you know, come on, like look around a little bit, you know? Yeah. And then I moved out there. I was like, oh, okay. This is like a whole new deal.
Woke atheist car gets owned by people who wear underwear all the time.
That's one of the things about it. Like the farther you get away from the spiritual centers of these religions, the more liberal people tend to get a little bit. And it's not so, you really think it's not so. Then as you get deeper into these things, the people who are more committed to it, it's really bad. And there's something that happens. Compare that to any other brand of Christianity, just like any non-denominational Christianity or even Methodist or whatever. If you stop going to your Methodist church, you're probably still invited to the barbecue. You know right. what I mean?
Probably.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, especially with Methodists. They don't give a shit.
Right. And even Baptists. I've known Baptists who I used to go to a Baptist church. Baptists are pretty liberal, too. I mean, they're Christians. So of course, they have that sort of moral conservatism. But, you know, just like that, they'll still be your friend, even if you stop going to that church.
Yeah. Dude, you know what I've been thinking about recently? I've been grabbing beers every now and again with Jake from Tasting Anarchy. And he's a Quaker.
He's a Quaker. I've never spoken to a Quaker.
And now that I think about it, I have absolutely no idea if he said that on air and if that's okay to say. So we'll just bleep it out if so. Anyway, so Quakerism in general it sounds like really, really fucking fascinating because it just removes everything but your, as I understand it, I could be fucking this up, but as I understand it, it's like basically it removes everything worldly between you and just something greater, like God, we'll say.
Right.
And you just basically kind of meditate and communicate with God and whatever. And that's basically, that's the deal. Like they go, like apparently like a church service, nobody speaks at a church service because there is nobody between you and God. So they just go and they're silent for an hour with everybody.
So yeah, it's like an absolute 180 turn away from Catholicism, yes. where it's like you exactly. have to go through channels to get to God.
Kind of, yes. Like, well,
nope, you're there.
Right. I don't know if I could speak to what Catholicism is. Essentially, like everybody knows I'm a religious idiot, but I was pretty fascinated by that. Like just, and so you'll have like the Quaker house, I guess, or the, what would be the church, and nothing can get done without unanimous consent from every single person. So like I was talking to, I won't mention him again, just in case we got to bleep that up. But I was talking to him about like what it's like to be in the church service and just a part of a church going forward. And he was like, yeah, one time, like we couldn't get an AC unit in the church lived in a really hot area. We couldn't get an AC unit in there for years because we had to wait basically for some of the older people who grew up without it to die off because they didn't want
just buy an air conditioner.
Oh wow.
Yeah, but you need unanimous consent from everybody.
Crazy. Well, it makes sense theologically. Consider this. If part of your religion and if I'm going to believe that Carr explained it correctly, if part of your religion is that you are equally as close to God as everyone else, then no one person's vote should have more weight than anyone else's. And right. so for Golly. Any decision to be equally inspired, it must be unanimous.
Yeah. No, I got to tell you, man, I've been thinking about it a lot and it like really lines up kind of with my thinking. Cause I'm not an atheist. Like I think there's something greater, but I don't, as far as like religion, I just don't really like it. I don't.
Right.
I don't like it. And I don't hate
religion aspects of things.
What's that?
Like the organized religion aspect.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. I mean, I like some of it. Some of the stuff is good. Some of the stuff I like and some of the stuff I don't like. And so I don't like it. So I just don't involve myself.
I am pretty much an atheist. I was raised a Christian, and sort of just moved away from it of my own volition. And that's one of the reasons actually that I find some of this stuff so fascinating. And one of the things that I find too, and not speaking about religion specifically, but speaking about cults in particular, one of the things that's fascinating about cults is the way that, if you look at the way that they maintain consent. So one of the things that the Church of Scientology does is they brainwash you into thinking this way, and then they'll treat you however they want to. There's torture that happens in the Church of Scientology. And
whoa, what do you mean? What kind? What do you mean torture?
They throw people, on Gold Base, there are two double-wide trailers.
On Gold Base?
Yeah.
What is that?
Gold Base is the headquarters.
Gold Base, car, Jesus. You don't know about Gold Base? This is why you're only an OF2. You dumb OF2. I was talking to
my brother about it, and he asked me the same question. No, it's just a big, big, expensive base for Scientology right outside of Hemet, California.
Dino, you and I... us OF5s, we really need to stop associating with that.
Are you browbeating your co-host about his thetan level right now?
No, it's fag level. although I'm sure you're even a lower operating thetan than I am, as you remember, my flow state is very high.
Yeah.
Right. Well, that's the thing is that so the Church of Scientology, of course, denies everything I've said thus far. Yeah. But, and they will deny what I'm, they have denied what I'm going to say.
Why are you lying? You know, I don't know why you would lie to us.
Right, exactly. I'm the liar, the guy who has nothing to gain. there's these two double wide trailers that are called The Hole, and they throw people from the Sea Org. That's the sort of clergy of the Church of Scientology. They throw people into the hole and they stay there for months and they are fed scraps and they are beating each other up and there's no heating and air.
So you're basically describing a trailer park in North Carolina where I grew up, except it's just in California.
Right, and everybody beats each other up all the time.
What do you mean? So if you get excommunicated from the Sea Org, they throw you in.
It's not excommunication.
They throw you
in. Excommunication is something different. Oh, this happens to you if you piss off David Miscavige.
If you piss off David Miscavige,
let me just point something. I hope that there is one Scientologist listening to this and is just in a rage right now at us, like, bumbling our way through it.
Hey, come on the show, Scientologist.
Oh, yeah.
Guy.
Right.
Come on the show. I really want to hear it from your perspective as an operating Thetan 8. I really want to hear that.
Yeah, and then we can tell you how to level up into OF9.
Yeah, we'll tell you. We absolutely. We'll tell you.
We got a handbook.
It involves airplanes and glue.
Yeah.
Lil Ronnie has the answers.
Lil Ron. So
Lil Ron Hubbard.
So if you piss off David Miscavige, you are placed in a trailer where other people who've pissed off David Miscavige are nude and they what? They eat one another, you say?
I don't know if they're nude.
Oh.
I
don't
know. Yeah, where did you...
Are they nude and they beat one another? I thought that's what you said.
I hope they're nude.
Okay, so wait. This Burge is really is running still, with it. This is a kink because at any moment they could just call the police and that's
no,
it.
The thing. No? This is what I was getting to with the manufactured consent of it all.
Yeah, right.
You are caught.
Call the police. Very off-brand.
Yeah, man, if I'm getting thrown in a trailer with a bunch of naked Scientologists, you best believe I'm putting that tax money to use.
Where did you get naked?
I fucking guarantee that. I swear.
Burr just busts in, starts stripping his clothes off. Everybody's like, whoa, dude.
I'll call the fucking FBI. Just try and stop me.
That's one of the things that they've tried to do. And the problem is that when they do talk to somebody from there, they're like, no, I'm here of my own free will.
Right, so it is like a cult,
it is absolutely
actually,
a cult.
Maybe to be more appropriate, it's like an abusive relationship.
Right, well, that's all a cult really is. It's the same sort of thing that's at play. Mm-hmm. The abusive relationships and cults prey on the same parts of human psychology. So you have these people who are in this hole who are being tortured. And they believe that they're there of their own volition. Part of it is because the Scientology theology states that if something bad happens to you, it's your fault entirely.
Oh, I see.
Oh, brilliant. Fucking brilliant.
Mm.
Exactly.
That is,
so
yeah.
So there's no way out.
Evil. And just to be sure, that kind of, and maybe, here, this is how we do the libertarianism part, and this is a serious question. That is a total, that's fraud, right? What is that? That's got to be something. You can't take control of someone's ability to consent.
Brainwashing is non-consensual.
No, 100%, right? It must be. So anything like
this
should be viewed with a great deal, not only of just suspicion in general, but of moral suspicion.
Right. If the question comes to me, do cults, brainwashing cults, break the NAP? The answer is yes, every day.
Okay. I'm there with you. I don't like to extend the non-aggression principle to most things, but anything that takes away the consent of a person, it has to fall into
and that's
that
what it does. It's using a set of tools that are available to anyone who knows enough about manipulation or human psychology. It's using this set of tools to manufacture consent, and this is what I'm getting at.
Right.
Because there's another libertarian angle to this too.
Okay.
What if I told you there is a cult?
Ooh.
that takes people at the age of 4 or 5, rips them away from their family for 8 hours a day.
I was gonna say, I know where you're going with this.
And tells them just how the world works. There's this cult that take kids away from parents for up to 8 hours a day. And if the parents don't give up the kids, the parents get punished.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So they take the kids away from the parents for 8 hours a day, and they teach the kids that the authority that the kids are meant to bow to comes from their consent. And they teach them this from the age of like 6 at the earliest to 7 at the very latest.
Yeah. That's wild, man.
Not
wild.
Well. They don't teach it well, but yeah, they...
Yeah.
Well, that's what they say. They say that the authority of the organization, which has taken you from your parents for 8 hours, our authority comes from your consent, and you already consented to it. And you're going to hear that for your entire life up until you are 18 years old.
Right.
From the ages of like 6 to 18.
Yeah.
That is manufactured consent. That is grooming. That is a cult.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, by that definition, if that's what you're going to call a cult, there you go. I can't argue with that.
Open and shut case, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah. Jeez.
It's one of these things, like, this is the reason that I'm so fascinated with cults. And this is I think it goes hand in hand, because my fascination with cults and my move to total anarchism happened at close to the same time. And I think it's because that's what it is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm sure we could get into the where and whys of consent, and we probably should.
Yeah, yeah. Episodes, there are other questions about the... Yeah, sure. But
disabling that's a person's ability to consent is most certainly...
Oh, yeah. That's you could spend, you know, years. It's like, I think anything like that where it's a soft... I mean, there's a continuum, right? I mean...
Right.
It absolutely
has to be. This is the qualifier for anybody who's listening who thinks that, I don't know, that sounds weird to qualify someone manipulating another person as a breach of consent. I'll tell you what, I think it's a form of fraud, and I think any time that someone does this intentionally, there you have the problem. Because there's
abusers. Well, it almost certainly depends on lies. It's absolutely got to be fraud.
There's abusers who don't realize they are breaking the ability of another person to consent. And you shouldn't really abuse someone in the first place. But even verbal abusers, there's those who are just mean, and then there's those who are trying to just break you down. And I think that's the difference, the intent.
There's a difference between not knowing how relationships and social interaction works and knowing full well that you are twisting a person to your whim.
It is a weird type of thought crime. Like, because it falls into the definition of, like, thought crime is I want to break this person's consent. Right. But once you act on it, you're out. That's it. Like, we know what you're doing.
Man. Right. And it is an identifiable thing. The problem is that it's really difficult to make the legal case for it because it's so hard to define this stuff. Think about the term gaslighting. OK, yeah,
right.
The term gaslighting is one that everybody's talking about and nobody actually knows what it means.
Gaslighting is here. Let me take a shot at it.
Okay.
Gaslighting is when you lie to another person with the intention of having them believe something. Is that what
wrong.
It is? Ah, damn.
Yeah, it's actually a very specific thing.
Oh, here we go.
Gaslighting is what is when you utilize manipulative tactics in order to make someone else question their sanity or their reality.
Oh, so it's very specifically make them question themselves and not make them believe.
And it makes
an
them
idea.
Malleable. Uh-huh. Right. And it doesn't happen once. Gaslighting has to be a pattern.
Right.
Right. So There's a difference between because the definition of gaslighting, nobody knows what the fuck it is. Everyone just thinks it's when someone contradicts you. So when people will say we're being gaslighted by this thing or such and such a thing or whatever, what they're really saying is this person has disagreed with me and I don't like the fact that I'm having to double think my reality. Because argument does that. It makes you rethink your reality. But it can't, so it can't be a simple argument that qualifies as gaslighting. It can't be, here is my evidence for my side, that if that evidence makes you question your reality, good, because it's evidence and that's what it should do. That's not gaslighting. No. Gaslighting is using manipulative tactics, not facts, not evidence, not logic, manipulation to make somebody question and lose faith in their reality.
Right.
But it's so broad now, and this is why it's impossible to make mind control and things like this a legal standard, is because the definitions get so muddled by people who don't know what the fuck they're talking about.
Right. And that is the issue.
And you're theoretically, if you were to prosecute it, you're prosecuting it. The prosecution would be potentially a large organization that's in charge of a gaslighting effort. So
that's exactly right. And then the other issue too is that you have a you have an organization that not only do you have a large organization that's in charge of a gaslighting effort, but you have a thing like Scientology that. You know, Shelley Miscavige, the wife of David Miscavige, hasn't been seen in publicly in 12 years.
Is she hot?
And I think she might be, but probably not anymore, because I imagine she's been pretty severely beaten over the last 12 years.
Oh, God. Well, I'm going to look it up. I'm going to solve this mystery.
We'll figure it out.
Shelley Miscavige.
That works. But she's hasn't been seen in public for like 12 years. It's been since 2006 or 7. And she... there was a missing, Leah Remini actually sent in a missing persons report to the LAPD, and the Church of Scientology spoke to a representative of Shelley Miscavige, who said that Shelley Miscavige was fine and she's exactly where she wants to be and it's all good, and the LAPD dropped the case.
Yikes.
Because why in the fuck would the LAPD stand up to the Church of fucking Scientology?
You know what scares me? You know what really scares me? You know how there's the old argument that if the state was to collapse, we'd be run by warlords and such? What scares me is that we would be run by people like this.
That is the thing to be more afraid of. The warlords thing is already true.
Dino, I think we're already being run by people like this. The warlords thing, at least they're honest.
Yeah.
But what I'm saying is, if the state broke down, these apparatuses of control, which have always proven to be better than just using force, they would just be in play again, except this time we'd all have to wear magic underwear. And, you know, it's just different... It's just different types of crazy, crazy traditions. Instead of, as you said, kidnap the kids 8 hours a day, make them look at a piece of cloth at the top of the room, and recite a poem, and then we begin.
Every day.
It's just, it would just be replaced with other forms of mental manipulation fuckery. That's creepy. Right.
And that's the thing, is it now, too. I mean, if you look at politicians generally, look at somebody like... Look at somebody like Beto O'Rourke. Okay, I live in Texas. I was kind of abreast of the Beto thing.
Beto, yeah, my guy, my exactly. boy, Beto O'Rourke.
My dude, everybody our loves, dude,
our boy.
Everybody loves Beto.
Our boy,
O'Rourke.
The Fat Cast boy, our official candidate, Beto O'Rourke.
It's true. Ted Cruz is can't be the choice. So
yeah, right. My process of elimination.
Yeah,
Ted Cruz is so hated. I can't remember who the senator was, but there was
Ted
a senator
Cruz,
who said that.
Is Ted Cruz in Oh no. Okay, never mind. I was gonna say, is Ted Cruz sitting in Ron Paul's seat? But no, Ron Paul was a congressman, not a senator. Right. Okay. Whew.
And Ted Cruz, there was a senator. I can't remember who it was who said it, but there was a senator who said that somebody could walk in to the Senate floor, murder Ted Cruz in cold blood. Mm-hmm. The murderer could be tried in the Senate, and the Senate would acquit. Because Ted Cruz is that hated. But that's the thing. So you take somebody like Beto O'Rourke, and if you ask anybody what Beto O'Rourke stands for, nobody knows. The dude says nothing. Yeah. He's entirely a cult of personality.
Okay, you're right. That's why he's our boy.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly. That's why we.
But he's a cult of personality. Look at who built this cult of personality. If you spoke to anybody in Texas, everybody knew that Beto was going to lose that Senate race. In fact, Beto's own campaign knew that Beto was going to lose that Senate race. It was Adam Curry, whose girlfriend, wife, partner is involved in charity work. She was at a function for the Beto O'Rourke campaign, and Adam asked one of the campaign managers, what do you think? Do you think you really have a shot or whatever? And they said, no, we don't have a shot. Right. But what we're doing is we're planning for 2020.
Yeah. Yeah, but that was
everybody in the country thought that Beto had a chance. Everybody in Texas knew he didn't.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I'm in Texas too. And yeah, it was pretty obvious. Although I will say it was closer than I thought.
Oh, yeah, sure it was. But that's also because you have because Dallas has swung blue. Recently.
Right.
But that's the only reason. Dallas and the border counties are all blue. But if you look at West Texas, especially Amarillo, Lubbock, Odessa, Midland, and if you look at Fort Worth, that's red blood. Red. It's always been red.
Yee yee. Fort Worth.
Fort Worth. I hate this city. Yeah. I'm going to leave the city in 2 years to dodge capital gains.
Can't wait to move out. Woo-hoo. 320.
I can't remember who it was that said it. It was an old country and Western guy, but he said that, that Fort Worth is where the West begins and Dallas is where the East just kind of peters out.
Yeah.
And there's definitely truth to that, because Dallas really, really wants to be part of the Eastern mega city. Yeah, and Fort Worth is just like, nah, we got cowboys and we got the
Fort Worth's a cow town.
Stockyards and everything.
Fort Worth's a cow town. For sure.
I always thought they were the same city. Once again, proving nothing.
No, they're on the opposite ends of this big like metro area, and Dallas is from Fort Worth.
Well, once again, I'm proving the point that in 2019 I'm going to be running as a cosmopolitan douchebag.
I love it. I think that's probably the best campaign platform I've ever heard.
It's honest. It's me. It's the truth. Dino, are you going to be okay? You've been really diving deep into cults.
No, I'll be fine. I go in and out of it.
This is the second time we've had you on. In fact, this is part two, basically. We talked about Aum Shinrikyo last time. We talked about Jonestown and Scientology this time.
I don't know why I go in and out of it the way that I do, but part of the reason that I'm really into it and reading about it right now is just because of season 3 of Scientology and the Aftermath.
Right. Which is on where? Netflix?
It's on A&E.
Oh, A&E.
Oh, A&E, you can stream it on Sling and you can buy individual episodes.
That's right. You plug Leah Remini's stuff.
I think it's a gift. I think Leah Remini's doing an incredible job with the show. There are heartbreaking moments in this show. There are moments in this show that kind of restore your faith in humanity. This show has led to the establishment of this incredible sort of like grassroots charity organization that helps ex-Scientologists, cult escapees get on their feet.
I heard about that.
It's wonderful. They've done really good work, and I appreciate that it exists. And I appreciate that somebody like Disney, who operates A&E, has the balls to
do a show like that. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah,
that is true.
It's ballsy. It's ballsy as fuck.
It is ballsy.
I mean, I guess Disney is the biggest mega corporation in history, but
they have their own cult thing going on.
They do.
War of the Cults. That's what you can expect in Encapistan. War of the Cults.
I'm just really excited to see this strange mega cult form between Scientology and the Nation of Islam.
Yeah, bringing it all around. I thought it was going to be boring, but really, when you do consider putting your crazy uncle and your crazy aunt in the same room, something's going to happen.
Something. That's exactly right.
Something.
That's exactly right. And they are, it's caused the Nation of Islam to bleed members a little bit too, because there's members of the Nation of Islam who don't dig it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would imagine. Yeah.
As you know, the Nation of Islam, very principled people.
Yes.
Very well, I mean, it's just like they're part of their organization is that they're, there is all of, as you scratch deeper and deeper into Nation of Islam, you do hit all the anti-Semitism, you hit all of the sort of inherent racism. You hit
scratch
all of
this deeper,
stuff.
I was going to say.
But on the surface, which is the thing that brings a lot of people to stuff like this, the Nation of Islam is about family, and it's about self-empowerment, and it's about black betterment, and it's about all these other things that are, I mean, nominally good things, right? So there's a the people who are there for that are seeing this Scientology stuff come in, and they're like, no, fuck this.
Yeah, right.
You're telling me that family is supposed to be important, but at the same time, this is a church that has a policy of disconnection? Nah, fuck this. And there's a lot of people who are just bouncing.
Well, at least that's a good sign, because Scientology does really creep me out. I feel like they send people out, assassinate people. I don't know. I feel like they do some weird stuff.
They do. Scientology is guilty of, like, there are people who are, like, conspiracy theorists who talk about all the stuff the government does. And sometimes there's evidence for it, and sometimes there's not. But one of the things that Scientology does is every fucking conspiracy you can think of.
Yeah,
like, there was a, there are actual documents that have been released because the FBI raided Scientology offices in the 1970s. There are documents that were released that prove that Scientology was doing an infiltration job in the American government.
Oh, God.
Would you say that you have the documents?
I have the documents.
Oh, God. I have the documents. These child blood sucking lizard people cannot stand.
Oh, David Miscavige, he smells like sulfur.
I'm sure he's commented on Dave Miscavige. We gotta find that a clip about
probably.
That probably gotta find a clip.
But that's the thing, like, there's like they do gang stalking. They hire PIs, like groups of PIs, to follow people around the fucking world.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Like, and it'll be the same PI. It's crazy. The same PI will be tailing somebody in Virginia and then be knocking on somebody's door in fucking Utah.
Oh, my God.
It's insane. And the Church of Scientology does all the conspiracy shit. All of it.
Yeah.
Wild.
Yikes.
Man. Goddamn wild.
You know, we did as I said, this is part two. If you want to go back and listen, I'll link part one in the description. We did part one about Om Shinrikyo, which is the Japanese death cult, basically. They go around, they poison subway trains and whatever. They think that their leader was Jesus, all that stuff. And
he's one of the greatest looking leaders of all time.
Of all time. But that group, which actually was responsible for killing a great amount of people, doesn't even creep me out as much as Scientology.
Right.
I don't know if that says something about me or something about Scientology.
I think it says something about Scientology.
Yeah.
This is an organization. This is a massive organization. They're so big and they make so much money, and yet they have so little membership. It's like, how do you wield as much power as the Church of Scientology wields?
Yeah.
And have nobody in your church?
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Yep.
Yeah. That is wild.
Creepy stuff. Oh, boy. Yeah. All right. Dino, thank you for doing this. Thank you again for continuing part two. Maybe we'll do part three about a different cult altogether.
We'll do part three about our cult that we start.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes!
It'll be like a checkup. So how's OF going?
It'll be a debriefing. One of us will be in jail. We'll just do it from jail.
Yeah. And
I don't know why this is the show where I go off on cults, but apparently that's this show for me. I think it just fits the conversation really well.
Yeah, yeah. We'll reveal our operating fag levels very soon, I think.
Oh, absolutely. It's very important that become public knowledge. Not the things that you learn, though. Those have to be secret to those people.
Yes. But, yeah. So you got to pony up. You got to pony up.
Right. Yeah. It's going to be at least, you know,
$40,000.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I was on the other end of the scale.
$40,000. It's got to be at least $40,000 to get your OF1. And then every level is 40,000 times the level. So
or we could just do a big entry fee, and that's like $5 to level up.
Okay. Oh, all right. And you know what? Maybe we should get a private Reddit group together and discuss it.
We'll work on it. We'll tool it.
We'll be in touch.
Holy shit.
It.
No, I'm breaking kayfabe, but this is a real fucking thing.
Okay.
If you guys do like not on Patreon necessarily, but like on a Patreon like service, that could be your tiers.
Yeah. That's what I think. Yeah, absolutely. It would be kind of easy to leak, but you know, it's okay. We could do it.
Right. Well, that's the wonderful thing about leaks is that you always do something knowing it's going to leak because
there's no such thing as bad publicity. People want to buy in. They want to know what the next level is. Yeah.
That's exactly right.
I'm into it. I'm very much into it. Dino, give us your plugs.
All right. I've got one that's kind of small, and it has this purple sort of plastic gem on the end of it. I have another one.
I don't need you to talk about
that's shaped like a dragon dick.
not like that. Not like that. Not your bad we'll dragon plugs. Fine.
Oh, for like shit that I do on the internet.
Yeah, your stuff. Show us your stuff.
Yeah, I have a show on Alternative Internet Radio, AIRAD.io. It's called Dino Files. I can be found on Twitter at Dino Files, and I write sometimes at the Rogue File, roguefile.com.
Ooh hoo hoo, busy man. Cardi, you have any plugs? You want to plug anything today?
You talking to me?
Yeah, you. Tell me your room plugs.
I don't know. I'll be skiing in Colorado next week, so maybe look out for my Twitter feed. Might take some shred pics.
Hey, yeah, and beyond that, your follower count is it's really getting up there, buddy.
Sure is, man. Getting near that four-digit glory land.
Four-digit glory, whereas I'm just struggling to keep afloat.
You have been absolutely... Somebody noticed that you were gaining followers, like somebody at Twitter.
Yeah, someone noticed because I started talking about it, and I haven't been able to break 900 since.
It's crazy. I was looking at your number, and it would just go down every day.
Every day. I don't know what I did. I offended the Goodfellas people. I know that. Yeah. I don't know what else I did. Yeah. And when this podcast gets released, I'm sure I'll have done something else that was stupid. So, we'll find out, yeah. I guess. Well, Carr, if you don't have any other plugs, tell them where they can put their hands.
Right on the wheel, both of them. We'll see you next week, guys.